Hi everybody, welcome to Long Term Memory. As always, it's me, Jack.
And also, as pretty much always, it's Colin. How you doing, Jack? You good?
Yeah, I'm alright, man. I'm alright. Been pretty busy recently, so we have sort of not been releasing a lot of content on here, but people are still sticking about, so big thanks to them. And we're going to get back into the swing of things, man. But, you know, just things happen, you know, things that are more important, so...
Yeah, absolutely. Good to get the pod out last week or so. I think it was 10 days ago. Also, a couple of your prank calls and stuff went out as well. So it's been good to start getting some stuff back out again and good to be doing this. We are recording on Friday the 5th of April. How was your Easter? Did you eat lots of Easter eggs?
Half a one.
What happened to the other half?
Half a one. Can't eat the other half.
No, okay. I didn't get an Easter egg this year. Nobody loves me enough to give me an Easter egg.
Can't just bought one, but it was orange chocolate.
Oh, yuck.
So I was a bit taken aback when I started eating it. I was expecting a nice chocolatey egg and it was orangey. It was an orange twirl one.
I hate chocolate orange. I can't stand it.
Yeah, I wasn't overly enamoured by it. But was there not public health warnings came out recently? Like, don't eat a full Easter egg. Where was that?
And as always, you adhered to those public health guidelines, so good for you.
I did, I only ate half a one. I would eat a full one if it was just normal chocolate.
Okay, see, maybe you didn't adhere to it then. It was just such a circumstance, I suppose. What's your thoughts on, like, the whole idea behind Easter, obviously, is this Jesus fella get put on a cross and killed.
Aye.
They banged his body into a cave. They rolled a big boulder up against the cave so that nobody could get in and he couldn't get back out if he woke up again.
Something like that, yeah.
He did wake up, somebody moved the boulder, and we kind of, we celebrate that by getting eggs, which aren't really boulder-shaped, and eating them. And I think some kids probably somewhere roll them down the hill, because that's kind of what happened to the boulder outside Jesus' dead cave.
Yeah, something I've never partaken in.
Never done
the rolling of Easter eggs. I don't know if I've ever been part of an Easter egg hunt either.
No, I haven't either.
I know when Karen's mum was still alive, she would she'd get lots of, like, great grandmas and stuff like that, and she would do a wee one at her back garden for the wains, but I was never I never been round to enjoy the kids running about. It didn't tickle my fancy.
I've never quite got the correlation between chocolate and gluttony and some poor fella getting killed, getting resurrected and coming out of a cave. It's just...
Aye, well, I suppose actually, like, the... I'm going to actually jump ahead because I put out a shout for questions and stuff like that, and Neil's been in contact, and I suppose his has kind of got something to do with this, like, sort of commercialisation of stuff. So he's saying that every year it's like a blur of Easter, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Halloween, Guy Fawkes, Christmas, blah, blah, blah. It's wearing him down. So discuss, so I suppose we've sort of started to discuss that a little bit. I was going to say deep thoughts on this. Like, I kind of get where Neil's coming from. It is sort of, I don't know how true this stuff is. It's like card companies made up some of these days, or whatever, back in the day, and like Mother's Day and Father's Day. But is it a bad thing, like, to have a nice wee Mother's Day or something like that, to buy your man some chocolates and some flowers and say thanks for being my mum, or a Father's Day or whatever?
I think Neil's quite lucky, to be honest, if that's all he's got in his life, wearing them down. He's doing well. I don't know, like, I think he does have a good point that, like, do I not like this, or do I just find myself cynical about it? I'm not a massive fan of the fact that you go into the supermarket and the day after Christmas, the selection boxes disappear and the Easter eggs start appearing and the Cadbury's mini eggs and the Cadbury's cream eggs, then they sit there until about now. And then they'll start changing and there'll be Halloween stuff appearing probably in the supermarkets not that long from now. Like, that does seem to be a conveyor belt of just come and buy stuff. It's the time of year you're expected to do it. I'm not a big cards guy. I would send a Valentine's Day card because I know the person appreciates that. It makes a difference to them. I get mum a card for Mother's Day. Don't think I get my dad a card for Father's Day because... I just, like, I love my dad as much as I love my mum, but I just don't think I get him a card because I don't think he would appreciate it, same as my mum.
Yeah.
I'm past the stage of dressing up for Halloween. I think Fireworks for Guy Fawkes are better watched on the telly than out in the cold. But I do love Christmas. So they're fine, but I would say probably my participation levels in them are minuscule.
Aye, mine's are pretty low as well. I get my mum something. We never did Valentine's Day this year. I don't think we have for years, actually. Just cause, who cares? Like,
did you not forget an anniversary recently?
Did I? Yeah. Did I?
I seem to remember you. I thought you forgot it, but she also forgot it. So it was
I think we both forgot it. But that's been a couple of years in a row that we forgot it. So it's not, we're not married, so it's not like it's like a wedding anniversary. It's just like, I don't even know how we came up with the date to start with. Do you know what I mean?
Must have been the first day your eyes met across the room and your heart.
I don't know. That sort of slipped by. Valentine's Day slips by. I get my mum something. Dad's deed. Halloween, a long time since I participated. Yeah, that's just, I kind of get what you mean. It's like the run-up seems to be getting longer now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a month, 2 months, the cream eggs come out in fucking, like you say, it's February or something. It's more the run-up, but I don't have any real issue with it.
It doesn't bother me.
It's your choice whether or not you, like you say, is whether you engage with it.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Like, it's up to you if you want to buy an Easter egg for somebody, if you want to get an Easter tree and put eggs all around it and do a garden hunt. That's up to you as well. Like, do what you want. Do what makes you happy. But I don't think that... I don't really know what Neil means it's wearing him down. Unless Neil's feeling pressured by all these things. If Neil's got people in his family and people that expect a Valentine's party, a Mother's Day party, an Easter party, then yeah, that would bring me down to fuck. But I think, like, folk can pretty much just do what they want with these days, and they're very easy to also ignore, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, I guess, if you've got young kids, and like my mate Ross, my mate Cara put up a picture of her family on Easter Sunday, and they were all having a wee Easter party. And I noticed that my mate Ross, her husband, was missing in the picture. He wasn't missing. He was dressed as a big 6 foot tall Easter bunny.
A big bunny, was he?
Yeah. I thought, oh, mate, bless you, that's amazing. But that's too much for me. But I'd seen that picture, everybody in the picture was delighted, so maybe I'm the bastard, so I don't know. But yeah, it's easy to ignore stuff like this. You can just close your door to it. Like, if you look at those, you can choose not to send a Valentine's Day card and nobody really knows. If you don't send your mum a card, it's not like a big thing. Easter, you just don't have to acknowledge it. Halloween is the only one that probably encroaches upon you because people come at your door.
And even then, that doesn't happen as much anymore.
It doesn't happen as much now because of pedos and stuff like that. But Halloween's the only one that really comes and annoys you.
Guy Fawkes, if you've got animals, I suppose, can be a bit of a shite night for your poor dog in that. You know.
That is true. I had the WWF at the door the other night doing their collecting.
Right, okay.
Do you care about animals? And I was like, do you have pets? No. I'm sure you still understand that pets are important, though, even though you've not got one. So, fucking hell. Looking like proper grim stuff from them.
Aye. Well, it's been a long time since I've had any sort of charity collectors at the door at all.
I had the WWF and Labour on the same night.
Right, okay. Did you have a conversation with the Labour person at all, or did you just sort of not answer the door?
I was pleasant, and I said to them, you are one of the good guys, and I don't mind you guys. And I actually said, I opened the door because you weren't wearing yellow.
Right,
so I gave him a bit of chat, but I didn't spend a lot of time. I was middle of cooking dinner.
Mm-hmm. That's fair enough. So I got a Chinese the other night, like, and I put, there's something so disappointing about trying a new place and getting it, and it was just absolutely garbage.
Yeah.
Bradley asked me what my order was. It was just a mixed curry, fried rice. Really simple. Like, it's a really simple thing for a Chinese place to get right. Like, I think if a Chinese place can't get a curry right, they're pretty much fucked for anything over and above that. And I got Car and a chicken and mushroom thing, and she came in and I told her about my experience because she was working. I said, that was rubbish. It was all watery. And then she just went, I don't want to eat anything, and just never ate it.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Put her off.
You should maybe not have told her until she tried it herself.
Yeah, China Walkhouse in Paisley. just off the Neilston Road. So I'll name and shame it. Garbage.
Oh, you ordered it off Deliveroo, didn't you?
Yeah, one of those apps. Uh-huh.
In my experience, the best Chinese disease don't go on the Just Eats or the Deliveroos.
It's just it's just sheer. The best one near us, I can't even remember the name of it. It's a phone only, but it's also cash only.
Yeah.
I didn't have cash. It's just so much easier just to Uber it.
Obviously. Yeah, that is easier. I like the round us. This is very niche for the people who live next to us. I like Oriental Delight just off the Paisley Road West, where the old Paddy Power used to be, next to the snooker club you used to go to.
Yeah, I know we are, man. That's a nice one. Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably the best one I've found over the 8 years or so living in this fine area of Glasgow. Mm-hmm. My typical order is a beef fried rice and usually a side of either salt and chili squid or salt and chili chicken balls. Mm-hmm. That's what I tend to go for.
Yeah, but like I said, I just thought I would just get a plain curry. It'll be pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Don't get me wrong, they got the order right. Like I said, no onions, extra mushrooms. They at least read the order. Uh-huh. Because again, there's nothing worse than phoning a Chinese and giving them specific orders. Like, I don't like bean sprouts. I hate bean sprouts and noodles, right? See, if they put bean sprouts and noodles, I can't eat them. It just puts me off if they kind of get that right. So they at least read the order, but it came within about 8 minutes as well. Which I always feel like, oh no, that delivery driver's just sitting there waiting because nobody's phoning them.
Did you complain on Deliveroo?
I didn't complain, I just left a one-star review and said not so tasty.
I would complain because I complained the other day about something and they just automatically refunded that part of the meal to me.
Well, I've got a habit of getting sort of, when I say groceries, like the other day I was ordered a bottle of wing, bottle of Buckfast, right. And they delivered a half bottle. So I complained about that and then they refunded the full price of the bottle.
Right, okay.
So you got to keep the wee half bottle.
So did you go on Deliveroo just to get the Buckfast delivered?
Aye, because I'm a lazy bastard. Like I could walk, it's like a 20-minute walk, but that's like 45 minutes down back. Nah.
No different. I was round my friend Sarah's house recently, and we had a couple of bottles of wine, and we're very much enjoying ourselves. And it got to like 10 to 10, and we went on Just Eat and ordered more bottles of wine. So we got Just Eat to deliver wine and vapes to us.
Aye.
And we made use of that service and had a lovely old time. So it's
And they usually deliver in about 20 minutes, man. It's really quick. It's really quick about here.
It's rapid. It was really good. Mm-hmm. I felt like a bit of a Jake Ball ordering wine and vapes on a Saturday night, but so be it. It was good.
Yeah. What else you meant to do? You know what I mean? You're not going to jump in the car or anything like that. So it is. It's pretty handy.
That would be irresponsible.
That'd be totally irresponsible.
I woke up the next day, Jack, like absolutely dying, right? I think I was just sitting, chilling out, and I had two bottles of wine myself, a bunch of cans of pre-mixed gin and tonic, and then I opened a bottle of whiskey. Right. And it was the weekend that Rangers were playing Dundee and the game got called off.
Over the moon, were you?
I woke up the next morning and I had to get home to watch the football and then do the pod post-match. And I was thinking, I can't do this. I can't open my eyes. I just can't do this. And then I started getting the texts coming through saying about the game, the weather and all this. And finally, the one came through saying it was postponed. And I think you and I are in the same sort of area on Rangers Twitter. Rangers Twitter was absolutely furious, raging, furious about this happening. I was like, a fucking dancer. Yeah. Just went back to sleep.
Absolutely over the moon.
Honestly, and you know what? I was away this week for a couple of nights and I watched what I was doing drinking wise because I did not want to feel that way again because the hangover killed me last time. Couldn't cope with it.
That's quite a lot, but 2 bottles of wine, cans and then whiskey. That's
yeah, it was a lot for me.
It's a lot for most people, man.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like was it red wine, white wine, rosy wine?
It was rosy wine, Zinfandel, yeah.
Zinfandel's nice, but you get the stronger stuff, so even if it's like 12%, 12.5%, it toes you in a buzz, man. 2 bottles of it.
Yeah, fun. It was silly. I was drinking it quick, necking it, and just being an absolutely irresponsible, daft 39-year-old man, so it wasn't good.
Mm-hmm. See, you wake up the next morning probably out of it with the hangover sweats, a wee bit stinky. So Chris, he's been in contact and says, he's asked us why, and then he's like stated it as a fact. So I don't know why, but some people are attracted to bodily odors of others. Is that a kink, or is it just?
Well, it depends, because odors is a funny word, right? So odors, if I say to the word odor to you, you automatically associate it with an unpleasant thing, don't you?
A bad eye, you don't like it. It's not a nice odor.
Some people, like, every human being smells differently. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the makeup of your genetics is, or your DNA, or whatever that changes it, but everybody has their own sort of natural smell. And some people do just smell naturally nicer than others. If he's getting at the fact that some people are attracted to
stank
bodily odors, then that's a bit different. That must be kinky or stinky. I don't know, but it's a bit weird. I've never been into somebody that doesn't smell nice. I like. What was the best way to put it?
I don't know if I can think of like a natural. I don't know if Karen smells, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, I don't know, like, she just naturally just smells like Karen. I don't know. I've never went, there's Karen, or there's somebody else, or whatever. I don't know.
Does she wear the same perfume all the time, or the same body fragrance, or body mist, or if she's wearing absolutely nothing?
I don't fucking know.
You're the worst.
No, I presume she uses the same fucking shower gel. Shower gel, is that what they call it? I don't know.
There's lots of stuff. I don't know. But some people do. People, everybody smells differently. Some people smell nicer than others. Mm. But you also you don't really get close enough to the average person
to give them a good
your natural odor. Mm-hmm. So I reckon you're probably attracted to someone in the first place. You get close to them for a number of reasons, and as you're close to them, you start to notice their body odor, and you may or may not like it. But I don't think you're initially attracted to just the bodily odor, because I think you have to get quite close and intimate and got a sort of skin contact to really experience that properly, don't you?
Again, it's just something I've not really noticed. Don't get me wrong, there's some people that like come in and I walk or whatever, and it's like, you're stinking.
Uh-huh.
Like somebody that's stinking.
Oh, absolutely.
But generally, I don't think I smell other people unless they're humming.
Have you ever had to tell someone in work that they're stinking?
I've not, no. But people have, yeah.
Yeah, I've had to do it a couple of times in previous jobs, and it's probably some of the worst things I've ever done in my working life is having that conversation with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there's a way to do it, and I've always tried to be really careful when I do it. So it's always like, it's never you stink. It's, how are things at home? Are you all right? Is everything okay? It's just that I'm noticing that your clothes, I've got a little bit of a smell to them recently, like a damp smell, or is there issues? Or you having issues using the washing machine, or is there something wrong? All this sort of stuff to try and get to the bottom of it, rather than just saying, listen, mate, you fucking reek.
You're humming.
I used to work with a guy, I used to work in a restaurant when I was like 17 or something like that. And we got given 2 shirts to wear. So it was basically, you did a shift, you had to get your shirt washed, you did the other extra one for the next day. And then your original shirt was ready again. You had to be quite quick with the rotation. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy that just stunk. And as a waiter, you can't stink. It's just not a thing you can do. So it got noticed quite quickly with this guy, and he got spoken to. Basically, this guy was putting his shirt on, having a like 5 or 6 hour shift as a waiter, running around the restaurant, carrying hot things, etc. And then getting into the dressing room and fucking his shirt into the locker, and then putting it on fresh again the next day. His shirt was never going home with him to actually get washed.
Mm-hmm. No, you cannot be humming in the service industry, man.
There was a guy at school that was stinky. And I remember some boys bought him deodorant and gave it to him. It made a big scene out of giving him it, and I felt so sorry for the guy, man.
Mm-hmm.
But
bullying.
You can go to Lidl now and you can buy deodorant or antiperspirant for £1. There's no excuse to stink, really, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
When homeless people have got mobile phones, there's no need to stink.
Aye, fair enough. Right, so where are we now? Andy's been in contact, our pal Andy. We'll get some stuff out of this, right? We've not I've not put any thought into these questions or any sort of research, Andy, so don't expect anything too in-depth. Because
it's a UFO, Andy?
Yeah.
Right. It's young Charlie. You're the star of our show, Charlie.
Yeah.
It's his 8th birthday today.
Is it?
Yep. Gave my happy birthday on the daily update today, did I, young Charlie?
Oh, good stuff. Well, happy birthday, Charlie. Don't think you'll get to listen to this show, but still.
You never know.
Your dad could pass a message on. Or yeah. Listen to this wee bit, Charlie boy. About 20 minutes in. Happy birthday, big man. 8 year old now. Good stuff.
Eight years old and bullying his dad.
Absolutely. Yeah, proper bullying him. That's good. So in 10 years, so we're predicting the future here. How will all these things have changed, do you think? So medicine, science, technology, the internet, and your taste in trainers.
He's such a dick.
There's got to be a bit of crossover between sort of medicine and science and technology and stuff like that. So we'll just sort of tackle it. The medicine, you would imagine that they'll cure more stuff?
I'd like to think so. In 10 years, yeah, they're fixing stuff all the time. Big thing for me with medicine would be that, and it's not such a big issue in this country, but it's out there as an issue in other countries, I think it'll be made easier to get access to non-branded medicine. There's too many companies that are selling medicine far too expensively when there's non-branded versions that do the same. Like, you see it yourself, people are getting like paracetamol, prescriptions for it. And it costs the NHS something silly like £3 to prescribe paracetamol. But you can go into Lidl and you can buy a packet for 30 pence. There's things like that's really a really, really basic example of it. But if you go all the way up to like cancer treatment and other bits and pieces, there's examples of that everywhere, especially in America, where you've got the whole insurance and medical cover issue where certain doctors, certain hospitals have to prescribe or have to give certain branded medicines.
Aye.
And that means they have to give the expensive stuff, which then means the person has to pay it. The insurance company has to pay it, and it's just a circle of making somebody rich rather than making somebody better. I think they're going to get tougher on that in the next 10, 15, 20 years because we have to, for financial reasons, for human reasons, and it's the right thing to do.
And then there's like, again, I'm not 100% sure about the ins and outs of this, but there's like medicine patenting, where you patent something, like these big massive companies like Pfizer, for example, they just patent a chemical formula type thing. Like, we're just patenting it. Don't know what it does, if it does anything, but they patent it because it might have a use, and then for the next 10 years, nobody else can then use that exact chemical formula type thing. So it's just, there might be stuff sort of sitting there that's patented that could be really helpful to people, but they're not working on it. They've just patented it so that they can sit on it for the next 10 years. Because that happened, like, obviously, that's like the Viagra thing, because you could only ever get, like, Viagra, because they patented that. But then that patent ran out recently, and that's how you can just buy it in the shops and stuff like that now, I think.
Yeah, there's all sorts of different companies. And
it's sad.
Ones. There's the big one. Have you heard any podcast that advertised Bluetooth?
No, but it's like Newman. Arthur Newman, like that. Like they're all over the internet now saying, "Look, you can get your manhood back and stuff like that." Yeah, so they must have just jumped on that sort of whole thing.
There's one called Blue Chew. It's like it's one that you chew and then swallow it down. Right. And the guy that advertises it the most is Jim Ross, the ex WWE commentator.
Right. Okay.
Who's like in his late 70s, I think. And like his wife died recently in a car accident, right? And he was doing podcasts with ad readovers literally 3 or 4 months after his wife died. I used Blue Chew last night, and boy, it gets the heart pumping and the cock thumping. Sort of stuff. It's just fucking horrendous. But he does like big long ad reads where he talks about how he just pops a Blue Chew and he's good to go. It's just, when it's somebody like Jim Ross and you know who they are and you can picture them and stuff like that, it just sounds so weird. And the fact that his wife's just fucking died makes it worse.
Yeah, we get paid a fortune, you know, Tom Segura and stuff like that. They've got Your Mother's House, like a massive pod network. There was a producer on that called Nedved or something he's called, but he does his own sort of YouTube podcast thing now, and he sort of takes a deep dive into like the podcasting industry, let's say, and he done a video last week or the week before about how much money you can make doing ad reads on these big podcasts. Fucking hell, man. It's
scary.
Like, he's saying that, I know we all bash Joe Rogan, right? And, like, I've actually watched, he's had some interesting guests. I don't watch his full shows or anything like that, but I watch some of his clips if he's got an interesting guest.
Yeah.
But I kind of like you, I would never tune into a full episode. But he doing 3-hour episodes, right? And if he does 6 ad reads, he can make 6 figures.
Yeah, it's crazy money. It's absolutely crazy. It really is ridiculous. Like,
6 30-second ad reads can make him nearly 7 figures, he said at some point.
Yeah. I was watching Dragon's Den this week, and Stephen Bartlett, who's a dragon now, got his podcast, can't remember what it's called.
Diary of a CEO.
That's it, Diary of a CEO. And one of the guys that came on Dragon's Den, they had a massage gun. So a massage gun, and they were saying how much better their massage gun was than anybody else's. And he said, there's so many massage guns out there. I mean, I get 2 or 3 delivered a week looking for me to review and talk about them. Mm-hmm. Right? So if he's getting 2 or 3 massage guns sent to him a week to see if he wants to use them and talk about them, what else is he getting sent to him before he does an advert read, before he does anything? He's just getting so much free shit sent to him. And that's
did he get an investment? No.
I don't know, because it was a clip I watched on that full episode, and the person shut him up really, really well. So he was like, "You get these all the time. I get 3 or 4 of these a week, etc." And he said, "Well, somebody that's getting 3 or 4 of these a week for free isn't our target audience." Just sort of snipped them, which was quite good. But the other seemed quite impressed by it. I got a massage gun recently, because my leg's so bad just now, and it's actually helped it quite a lot. It's quite a cool thing. But I bought it off TikTok shop for £9.
Right, okay.
So it's probably not the highest end, but it was good. But aye, that's like before these guys even get to do an advert read, they've got just stuff getting thrown at them. These guys that mention a product on purpose on their podcast just to get free stuff sent to them, and it actually happens.
Romesh and Tom used to do that all the time.
Yeah, they're bad for it.
They're proper bad for it.
I like Nando's. Do you like Nando's, Tom? That's not work for us. Pie Sports were good to us for a long time, and the Pie Sports sent me some pies at Christmas, which was great. But
did they? Aye.
Yeah.
Never picked up their pies for you, did I? Did I ever pick up my pies?
No, you didn't. You never came and got them out of my freezer, so they're long gone. I did a wee thing for them before Christmas. They sent me some pies. And they were fucking amazing. But I've not had any freebies for ages. If you're listening and you want to send us some free stuff, please do.
We're not working with Pie Sports anymore. But yeah, they make really, really tasty pies, and we did get them some customers. So yeah. Never really heard back from XSense after our ad runs with them.
No, I don't know why that was. You bastards listening to this didn't buy enough water detectors.
Fucking Neil bought something.
Did he?
Yeah, Neil bought something off of them. So they got at least one sale.
Neil Buchanan?
Yes.
What was it, a greeting card detector? So he knows where they're coming and they can hide?
Yeah, and then he also won the water detectors, which has nothing to do with him actually buying something from them. He was just randomly drawn from people that entered by me.
I don't mind talking about it now, because we're obviously way past it and we've got the money. But that was a big weird thing, that, wasn't it?
It was really bizarre. Like an American-based
company that nobody's heard of. Like you would, when they start describing themselves to us, we didn't think they existed. And then they are on Amazon, they are selling their shit. And they kept on negotiating us to keep doing it because they felt it was helping.
Well, like you said, they must have had some measurement of something, like he says, like hits from geolocated in Scotland or something. I don't know. So, who cares? They paid us and it's over with now, but we've not heard back from.
But yeah, but they did pay us and then they came back for more. Do you know what I mean? That was the one that surprised me.
I kind of thought, like, we've got the run of four ad slots.
Yeah.
And they came back for another 8 or something. So, yeah.
Brilliant stuff, yeah. Brian, any advertiser listening, we're always happy to take money. We will promote any old shite as seen by water detectors.
Medicine, what else in medicine? I think nano, this is probably a crossover with science as well, but we nano robots. Uh-huh. That we can, mind that film years ago where they shrunk the guy didn't even inside the human body.
Yeah, so there'll be one of that, do you think?
Maybe we nano robots to go in and fight cancer cells or fight bad cells or go in and sort of less invasive stuff. So instead of surgery, you just pop a wee couple of wee nano robots and they go in and do what needs to get done or whatever and then just dissolve or something. I don't know.
I think to take a step back from medicine and just look at healthcare in general, I think the whole going to the GP will change quite soon. So I'm lucky I've got private medical care for my work and I can get access to a GP at any time and get a video call with them and they can send prescriptions to me and stuff like that. I don't see any reason why that service has to be a premium part of a expensive health plan thing because surely any doctor can do that. And I don't know about you, it's difficult to get a doctor's appointment nowadays. I've got really good doctors and they're actually quite good when I do need to go and see them face to face, but some people tell horror stories of it and I don't think it has to be as difficult as that. I think they can do stuff to change it and make it better. I think they can maybe offer virtual appointments and FaceTime appointments and stuff like that, and I think that's something that'll become more and more common in the NHS rather than just in the private world as well.
Maybe. I did go and speak to him. I wanted to go and actually physically speak to a doctor a couple of weeks ago. And I got, as long as I got phoned at 8 o'clock, waited for 20 minutes to get through something, then got an appointment that day. So my surgery is not that bad as long as you just phone early, wait in the queue. It's a bit of a pain in the ass, but you will get an appointment that day.
Yeah.
Normally. So I went down and spoke to the person, that was fine. I was going to say something else about medicine there. I sort of again, it's just a progression of care, I suppose, or being able to get the science and the, I was talking about patenting medicines, like that. There might be stuff sitting there that's just good at dealing, better at dealing with mental health, like mental illness.
Yeah.
And maybe not, I've had depression on and off for years, anxiety, all that sort of stuff. I'm not sort of talking about that. I'm talking about maybe the more sort of really more specific things. Uh-huh. Let's say bad things in inverted commas, your paranoid schizophrenics, the real sort of real fucking bad ones. Let's be honest, there is levels to mental illness. Let's not kid ourselves on here. Let's not kid on that fucking somebody that's depressed has got the same issues as somebody that's got fucking borderline personality disorder and paranoid schizophrenia,
I think if you just look back at the difference in people's opinions towards all mental health, though, in the last 10 years, you've got to imagine that sort of uplift and understanding will continue.
Some sort of really good mood stabilisers or something, just something that...
Yeah. I just look at how the press do it sometimes, and if I see a celebrity struggling with their mental health, you'll see a story now about they're struggling with their mental health, they're getting this support, they're getting that. Whereas in the past, it was wacko jacko and stuff like that and other bits and pieces which you didn't get it. So, yeah, I think people are starting to understand. I think workplaces are starting to understand it better. I think people are more happy to talk about it now because it's better understood. So I think that will just continue to happen and I think that will help it because I think anybody with mental health issues, one of the worst things that for any sort of mental health illness is not talking about it and hiding away or to try to disguise it and stuff. Mm-hmm. Less and less folk will do that in the next 10 years in the same way it's becoming more mainstream.
Yeah, and I think as well when it comes to sort of, I suppose, a crossover between sort of science and medicine would be the sort of, I don't know the technical term for it, editing your genes before you're born almost. How there's a whole thing, there was a whole sort of backlash against if you could tell that you were going to have a child that was going to be, would have Down syndrome, would you take it to term and have the child and so on and so forth, knowing the complications? And there was a lot of people that were very sort of, no, you can't do that, that's playing God. Yeah. Me personally, I don't particularly agree with that. I think, see if you could uninvasively edit somebody's genes before they're born to take away the danger that they, like, see, if you could take away the cancer, take that out, and just like, here, get rid of that. Like, you don't need that.
If that's done safely, like you say, non invasively, then it should totally for any sort of thing. If someone's going to be born with one arm or born with ginger hair or anything, you can
have the male pattern baldness gene and ginger hair.
Oh, anything.
Fuck me. I'd go back in time, I'd be like, ah, mum, get my genome sorted.
Yeah, get me on gene 101.
Aye, so maybe that as well.
I think the technology, the internet one, is, I think we can encompass those two just with the two letters, AI.
Well, AI in medicine as well. You're talking about medicine and like going and like, again, this is like a personal, one of the chef in Karn's work was on holiday and came back and he had like sort of flu-like symptoms.
Uh-huh.
And he ended up in hospital. And it turned out he had like some sort of like fucking, I say like West Nile disease. It's some fucking wacky disease,
right,
that you just don't get here. And they were dead lucky that they somehow caught it just before he fucking died, because they didn't know, like, what is that? I think with AI, if you put all his symptoms stuff like that, it would then fire back. Well, it might not be flu. It might be that. Look at that and take bloods for that and test for that, rather than putting all your knowledge into like a doctor who would then need to go and fucking Google it or look it up in a book or whatever and try to figure out what else the symptoms could be. AI will just be able to process that in seconds, basically. Just these are the things it could be. So take a look at that and that, rather than fucking the doctor sitting there with his big fucking 800-page book.
Well, the next step really is not getting a doctor's appointment, getting an appointment with a robot. Getting a phone from a chatbot, and it's got all the information, it's got all the knowledge that your doctor's got. It's probably got better knowledge. It can recall it instantly, and it should be able to help and offer right prescriptions. Like, it sounds fucking mental, but it's genuinely not that far away from getting on a plane, and it's an AI pilot, AI delivering your shopping from Amazon. There's hotels now where, if you order room service, it comes in a robot.
Yeah, but did you not hear recently that Amazon shut down their, the stores went in and you just picked stuff up and walked out?
Yeah, they've cancelled that, haven't they? They
cancelled it because the AI that was running their stores was actually ran by 1,000 human beings. Like, wow. There was 1,000 people working behind the scenes,
right, okay,
to get it to work right. So it's still, that's still where we are. Yes, you still need the humans to run it. Basically, it's when the AI can run itself, I suppose. That's when you're talking about that sort of there's a point, I can't remember the name for it, but it's like not singularity, but it is kind of like a new singularity. And
it's bad, isn't it?
And then again, with technology like and the internet, I presume like the internet will just become reality, if you know what I mean. So like even now, like somebody asks you a question, you say, I'll jump on the internet and check, I'll jump on Google and check that. I think in the future you just go, wait, and I'll just check it. You know what I mean? You won't need to go on it or go to, you'll just like, do you know what I mean? The terminology will change.
I think the internet will be in my contact lenses, basically, or
something like that. Mm-hmm. And you just think it and then you just check it.
I think you look to one side and you think and it starts looking it up or something. There'll be gestures and things to make it happen, and I am, sign me up for it. I am not scared of that. I will embrace that. I want that to happen. Yeah, I'm all for it.
So suppose the payoff then is, which we're already sort of in the midst of now, is just the privacy. I suppose just privacy, like being the total payoff. But we'll get to the stage as well where like your devices will just do it themselves, if you know what I mean. Like, how to explain it? So, like, nowadays, like, obviously, you connect your phone and you can upload stuff to the drive, all that sort of stuff, but you do that.
Yeah.
Whereas, I think in the future, your device will just do it, or just whatever. You'll just be walking about and this constant, the Internet of Things, it'll just, it'll not be that, it'll just be like, life, that's just life.
Yeah, no, I get it. I do like
it. It's just all joined. Everything's joined to everything. And then that's when your privacy completely goes. You obviously told me about the ins and outs of the Temu 50 quid thing that was out the other day, which was wild. What was that?
That was so Temu was the kind of Chinese Amazon.
But I mean, where did we speak about it?
Oh, that was on RBR.
Right, okay. So for anybody that doesn't know, you might have seen that Temu thing where we were offering you like $50 if you got somebody to sign up and you could repeatedly do it. But what was the terms and conditions? Is basically they owned your whole fucking person, your likeness, your voice, all that sort of stuff. If you signed up to it, something like that.
I've not signed up to it, absolutely not.
No, I know, but I'm just saying that's what the terms and conditions are to get your £50.
For 50 quid, basically. It's bonkers.
Right, okay. I tell you what, we'll call it a day. We'll call it a day for this episode,
my trainers will change in the next 10 years.
Right, okay, we'll wrap it up with you. What do you think trainers are going to... Because, like, see, if years ago you would have told me that some trainers are going to end up looking like some of these really weird Kanye West designs or Crocs or shit like that, you'd be like that, nah, fuck off, man, like that. That's can't be true. How do you think... If you look at the trend in trainers, are they cyclical? You know what I mean? Like the big sort of...
I think we're talking about the next 10 years, retros will still stay popular and retros will just become more current. So things we were maybe wearing 5 years ago will come out in 10 years' time and will be a retro because it's 15 years have passed. My personal taste, I've already quite matured. It's probably the best word for it, my taste in shoes.
Right.
And I almost exclusively wear Jordan 1s and Dunks now, which aren't loud. They're not particularly loud. They're not in your face. And they're acceptable for a 39-year-old man to be wearing. I'll still buy the odd Yeezy, but not the pure loud ones. And I think that's how my taste will continue. I'll still... Jordans and Dunks will be the way forward, I think, for at least the next few years.
I've had the same taste in trainers since I was fucking 17, man. Just plain.
There you go, then. That's
plain what... white, plain black. Just plain trainers, man. I bought a fancy pair of Jordans because there was like a Nike discount code that you might have sent me or something that was like 40% off plus an extra 20% or something. So I ended up getting a pair for like 70 quid that would normally have been like 190 quid or something.
Right.
And I left them at the back garden, man, so they get fucking soaked.
Okay,
I left them at the door because I think I stood in a bit of shit. And it wasn't like I wouldn't wear them if I was taking the dog in the grass. It was just a bit of shit on the street. You don't see an awful lot. So I left them outside and it rained and they get ruined. And I just binned them.
Raging.
Mm-hmm.
Raging, man.
They were cool as fuck, I know. I really liked them. But anyway.
We'll come back as retros. You get them again.
I'll get them again, mate.
We've got some more questions to go in for us. Maybe we'll pick them up on a second episode or maybe on a bonus or something for the patrons, because a lot of the stuff we're doing just now is for the patrons rather than the public feed. So
aye, this will get public feed, but a couple of weeks they're behind. This is just for you guys, you know. Yeah, we'll come back with Scott Watson and Craig Watson. Don't think they're related, but they've got a couple of questions we'll maybe get to, and we'll do a wee bonus episode. How about that? And we'll release that in a couple of days as well. Right,
cool, sounds good to me.
Right, guys, cheers for tuning in. We will speak to you especially in a couple of days.
Bye.
Colin, I personally don't think there's anybody still listening, and if they are, they're pretty hardcore long-term memory fans, and I would be expecting them to go and sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/wrongtermmemory or by clicking the link in the show notes.
Absolutely. And if for whatever reason they can't do that and paying for content isn't their bag, they can still offer us continual support by leaving a rating and a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.